Good morning. My name is Mark, and just for the next couple of minutes, I just want to talk about prayer. And so just to open this morning, let's just go to God for just a moment in prayer, just to open up this. Dear Lord, just thank you for this day. We praise your name. We call out to you for wisdom and guidance. Thank you, Lord, for all you do, whether good or bad. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you. Like I said, this is the second in a series on prayer. And just prayer has got to be one of those cornerstones in our lives. And we'll get into a little bit more about that this morning. Last week, we studied the Lord's Prayer, you know, where Jesus was up in the Galilee. He had just gotten these fishermen who really, you know, weren't well-schooled or well-versed or, you know, well-read. And they'd say, well, you know, Lord, you know, Rabbi, how do we pray? And there in Matthew 6, he took them aside and he taught them the Lord's Prayer. Just a little over 60 words. 60 words that are repeated millions of times every year. The Lord's Prayer, and we studied that. And we really don't want the Lord's Prayer to just be repetitive. So many people just repeat prayers and repeat the same thing, and really it's not from the heart. We really need to understand how the Lord's Prayer is so significant to us, as it praises God and asks God to meet our needs. Not our wants, not our desires, but our wants. And so I pray that you study the Lord's Prayer, really the disciples' prayer, there in Matthew 6, just as we did last week. And 60 words, 60 plus words, 66 words, just think that the IRS tax code takes thousands and thousands of pages. But these 66 words are just life-changing for us. So yeah, take it to heart. And this week, I really want to talk about another couple of prayers. You know, the word prayer, again, is mentioned over 600 times in the Bible. Over 600 times. And so that's pretty significant. If God says it once, we listen. If he says it twice, we need to obey. When it's mentioned over 600 times, my goodness, we really need to sit up and take notice. And this week, I want to talk about some of the Old Testament prayers. And you kind of take a look at some of those, and I want to talk about one very significant one. However, the first one, you know, Hezekiah there in 2 Kings, he's praying for deliverance from the Assyrians. Solomon there in 2 Chronicles, he's asking for mercy. We go on to Asa, who was king of Judah at the time there in 2 Chronicles, and he wants deliverance from his enemies, as well as Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. He wants, you know, he's praying to God, just great prayers from the heart for deliverance from their enemies. But we also see Daniel and Nehemiah and Ezra. Everybody prays for that deliverance, primarily from their enemies. However, it's just not in our times of need when we're down in that valley. But I want to tell you a story, and I want us to turn to 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, as you remember, the first books of the Bible, you know, we talk about them when we talk about, you know, Joshua and Ruth and Judges. And so the country of Israel, the Jews, they didn't have a king. But they wanted a king because that's what they knew. They knew kingly worship and things like that. And so God, you know, he said, okay, you're kind of falling away from me. You know, we kind of wanted this to be a theocracy, but I'm going to give you a king. And what he did was to choose a king. There was a young man named Samuel. Well, I don't want to talk about so much as Samuel. I want to talk about his mother, just an amazing woman of God, a woman named Hannah. And if you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, it kind of gives a little bit of background. She was the second of two wives, and she was barren. The other wife, ha, 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 I can give our husband, you know, kids, but you can't. And so Hannah was just, she was down in the dumps. And there in 1 Samuel chapter 1, she goes to God, and she spoke in her heart. If you take a look there at 13, now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli was the priest. there in Shiloh, and Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Woman, you know, put your wine away from you." And she answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit," because she couldn't have those kids to honor God. And she said, "I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." So refer that, you know, just that is so powerful there in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15. And she said, "Do not," she's still talking to Eli, said, "Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now." Then he answered, "Well, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him." Guess what? She got pregnant. She had a baby. And she had this little baby Samuel. And she said, "I call him Samuel because that name is heart for God." Because out of her prayer, she was having a baby. She called him Samuel, and so it was time for him to be dedicated in the temple. And, you know, just absolutely amazing. So here's this downtrodden woman in chapter 1. She has this baby Samuel, and Samuel is going to go on to great and amazing things. And she offers up this amazing prayer, probably for me, one of the most amazing prayers in the entire Bible. And it starts off, I'm going to just read it to you. There in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, she starts off, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn," or my life, "is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your," I rejoice in God's salvation. Ah, we're talking about salvation already there in 1 Samuel. She goes on to say, "There is none holy like the Lord, for is none beside you." And you remember in those days, you know, they had other gods, but there is none beside you. She recognizes that. "Nor is there any rock like our God," any Petra, our rock like God. "Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken." She has seen war around her. "And those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren," she's talking about herself, "even the barren has borne seven, that perfection. And she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggars from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken into pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." So God is anointing Samuel, and it's just an amazing story. This is a mother's heart, that thankfulness for everything that she has gone through, and she understands what is going to happen. So I just praise God, and I pray for you. And I ask, here's your homework for this week. Write a list. Start a list. Today, write down the name of two people that you just want to fervently pray for tonight, just lifting them up. I also want you to put on that list the name of two people who have sinned against you, who have hurt you, whether it's family, whether it's friends, and I want you to fervently pray for them as well. Pray for those two that need help. Pray for two that that have transgressed against you to lift them up. Go, prayer warriors. We just thank God this week, and go in His grace. Thank you.